The following is a paid program, and the opinions expressed within it are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of KACO Radio or Mulman Media Management and staff.
Everybody, this is Joe Poe Jr. and Mary Helen Deer, and we're hosting Kiowa Talk, created by the late J.T. Goombay. Our sponsors for Kiowa Talk here on Saturday on New Country 98.5 KACO are Kiowas for a Better Future, District 5 Legislator Anita Johnson, District 7 Legislator Jacob Sotai, District 4 Citizen Susan Campbell, and District 7 Citizen Lawrence Spotted Bird. And today we've got the Reverend Alvin Deer is going to give our opening prayer. Alvin, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you for this opportunity. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we come together this day, we just thank you for the opportunity to share in the things that you have put on upon our hearts, Lord. And we just ask you, God, to bless us now as we continue in. Bless each speaker. May the words that we say be beneficial to each and every one. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Aho, Alvin. So the next part of our show is the Kiowa Elder of the Week is Velma Eisenberg. Velma, how are you doing today?
Eisenberger.
Oh, you know what? It's right. I don't know. I just had a brain misfire. Anyway, so we'll let Mary Helen Deer and turn this part of the show over to her, and you just go right ahead.
Hello, Velma. This is Mary Helen. And I'm glad you could be with us today. I've been getting some responses that a lot of people really enjoy hearing stories from the elders of their experiences early in life and who their family is and that sort of thing. So I'm just going to let you go and start talking about who your family is and then how you were raised, where you were raised, and some of the adventures that you've had in your lifetime. So go ahead, Velma.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity, but my name is Velma Dumbo Eisenberger, but known as Velma Silverhorn. I was named after two of my cousins, Velma Silverhorn and Ruth Silverhorn. My mother was Sarah Louise Hongu, which in English is Silverhorn. Her father was Hongu. And Hongu's father was, well, there's three names, Thohasantu, Agite and Dompai. And Hongu's mother, I'm not sure if I'm going to pronounce this correctly, but Sahaphodl, Sahaphodle. That was my great-grandmother. And then my mother's mother was a Taukun, and her English name was, well, first Hattie Silverhorn, and she remarried John Abua. So, and her mother was Zoni, but she was raised by her aunt Hokahodl, and her father was a Comanche Navuni. So, and then Zoni, well, anyway, Zoni was she was married twice. So her first husband is who my grandmother's. No, I'm getting confused. Anyway, Zoni was my grandmother Taukun's mother. I'm going to just go that far. And then on my father's side, Fred Dumbo, and his father was Thombot, which I don't know how you get Dumbo out of that, but with Charlie Dumbo, Thombot. And his Thombot's father was Pa-ta-safe, a.k.a., or they called him Paddy, and he was a captive. And Thombot's mother was Orutal. And then my father's mother, my grandmother, was Sanema, and her English name was Bertha. And her father was Toiki, and her mother was Kopema. So that's up to my great grandparents. And my mother was a daughter to Hongu, and her brothers were James Silverhorn, Max Silverhorn, George Dutch Silverhorn, and Arthur Silverhorn, and James Silverhorn. And my mother died when I was very young, like 4 years old, and I had a younger brother, but we were raised by my grandmother, Paul Kuhn. And of course, I always say I was very fortunate. I had all these fathers, my uncles, and grew up around Stecker, Oklahoma, and around the people around that community was the Silverhorns, Dumbos, the Palmers, the Sankadotes, the two different Sankadotes, and so went to school at Stecker, that little country school, and then went to Broxton High School. So I got my elementary and high school education there in the country school. My grandmother did a lot of beadwork, and the thing I remember mostly was her making Kiowa men's moccasins. So she made moccasins, and so out there at Stecker, I guess, well, when my grandmother was alive, there was a lot of things done with the family, and a lot of gatherings with the family, and being a grandmother, there was always a bunch of us there. My brother and I and my cousins, and a lot of them were, you know, we were kind of all raised by my grandmother. And I remember my grandmother always, you know, wanting to know how her relatives were. So we would go a lot to go visit her relatives on her mother's side, around Mears, Mountain Scott, that area. We'd go out there, and she'd go check on her relatives there. And then we would go, like, even on the Comanche side, too, we would go and visit her a cousin, I guess, but she called him her brother. So we would go and check, see them, and then back around the Anadarko. So there was a lot of contact with the family. And let's see, I kind of lost my train of thought. Anyway, but there was, you know, I grew up around family. There was a lot of family gatherings, and we all like all my cousins, we all hung out. And out there, you know, where the old Silverhorn place is, my Uncle Max Silverhorn lived there, and that was like a two-story house, and there was a creek down there, so we would always be down there hanging out, running all over the place. And so we grew up being outside all the time, playing out and walking around and going to swim in those dirty ponds. But there was a lot of outdoor things. And then, like, I was just thinking, too, about, like, in the fall time when when the cotton harvest, you know, we'd all go out and pick cotton, you know, as a family. So a lot of interaction and work with the family. And then my grandmother, she's Kiowa. She spoke Kiowa all the time. So she taught us, you know, like if we're doing something and we're not doing it right, you know, she would correct us. And the thing that I really think I learned a lot was from my grandpa, John Abouan. He would tell the same day stories, my brother and I. And, you know, there's a moral for every same day story. And he would tell us a story. And then after that, you know, say, this is why, you know, you don't do this or you don't do this, and why you have to be respectful to people and, you know, speak to people in a good way. Don't try to cheat people or, you know, try to outdo people, and, you know, carry yourself in a respectful manner. And I really think that I got a lot. I learned a lot from my grandfather telling those stories. And my grandmother was, you know, fully Kiowa, spoke Kiowa all the time. And then too, she had gone to school. She said she only lasted maybe not even a week, and they cut her hair. So when her dad went there to go check on her, and her hair was cut, so he just took her out of school. And she would always encourage my brother and I, well, all of us, you know, you need to go to school. If I had gone to school, I wouldn't be having to work with my hands, you know. So it's really important that you get the white man's education. And then my grandfather, too, would say, you've got, you know, it's really important that you go to school. And so I got that encouragement. Well, we all did, my cousins and I and my brother. So there was a lot of teaching, you know, growing up, and always appreciated, you know, whatever we had. We never knew we never even thought that we were poor, you know, because we always were fed and we were always clothed. And, you know, there was love, a lot of love for us, encouragement. So I really appreciate, you know, appreciated my grandparents, because they really encouraged me. And, you know, and I was able to go to school. I went to Cameron. It was a junior college at that time. And then I went to Chickasha. It was Oklahoma College for Women when I first started. And then, of course, they changed names like three times, got my bachelor's degree there. Then I went on to Arizona. I got my master's degree at Arizona State University and administrative classes in Tucson at U of A. But I really, really think that if I hadn't had that those teachings and that encouragement, I wouldn't have been able to. I don't know where I would be. I don't know what I would be doing. But you know, it's really difficult nowadays, because our younger generation, I don't know if they just haven't been taught or what, or that maybe the influence of the people they hang out with. But you know, it's really important for the youth to listen when their parents are, I would say now the grandparents, because the grandparents and great grandparents, I think we were brought up, you know, in the Kiowa way, you know, to be respectful, to honor our parents and our elders, and to love our children and to guide them, you know, and to really really encourage them, you know, to live the way our elders did, you know, with that the respect, especially the respect for relatives, and being honest, and you know, work hard. You know, nothing's going to come to you if you don't work hard, or work, you know, work at whatever career you choose, or whatever, you know, go into education or whatever. So it's really important that we too, as elders, speak to our grandchildren, and you know, let them know, you know, what, how we were raised or how we were taught. So I appreciate my relatives. I really, really do. And I'm just real thankful that I was raised the way I was, and I'm getting my language back, you know, not completely, but I've been participating in that Kiowa Language and Culture Revitalization Program. So in there, you know, we do a lot of working on our language. Not only that, but you know, just talking about being Kiowa. So, you know, I've really, really, really improved in my language. You never forget, you know, when you're taught, you never forget. You know, you understand, but you know, being away for like 45 years, I'm not really hearing Kiowa that much. But it's coming back, and I'm just really thankful, you know, that I'm able to speak my language.
So, it sounds
things
like
things in Kiowa, it's really hard to explain it in English.
Yes. So. I always heard that. And it sounds like you and I, you know, went the same track, because a lot of things you're saying about your grandparents, you know, is exactly, you know, how I was raised and brought up with my grandparents. So it sounds like we were doing the same thing. But tell me, one thing you haven't mentioned is when you were Kiowa Princess. Tell us about that experience.
Oh, well, that was kind of, you know, my grandparents, when I was real young, we went to powwows a lot. I mean, a lot. And then something happened. One of my uncle passed away, my Uncle Arthur. And everything just kind of switched. My grandparents became Christians, and so they just kind of pulled away from the powwow circle, because you know, at that time, and some still say this, you know, if you go to powwows, you can go, you know, it's a sin and all this. But anyway, I had been involved with church with my grandparents, and so we were just at home. My grandmother was beadworking. She used to always beadwork and sit out in the shade. And so she came to my aunt on the Comanche side, Pat Ruiz. She came. She said, I'm taking Velma Ruth. We're going to go run for Kiowa Princess. And my grandmother says, what? Well, she, you know, she's like, oh. So they kind of talked about it. Okay, go ahead, get ready. So we went, they had that pageant at Carnegie at the park. Oh. So we went over there, and but there was only like two of us that actually ran for Kiowa Princess. But anyway, I got selected, and then we went back, and my grandma and grandpa were at a church meeting at Hall Creek. So we got over there, and then my aunt said, well, she won. She's the Kiowa Princess. And then my grandma and grandpa just kind of shook their head. And then, they were glad. You know, they were happy. But then they were you know, saying, how are we going to do this? So would you want to take her? His wife was kind of related to my grandmother. So when they went to powwows, they took me to powwows because my grandparents were, they you know, because of the church, they were kind of afraid to go to powwows, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, so I got to go to powwows with Would You Watch a Taker and his wife and Carla. So, and then, well, we had, growing up, as you know, as a child, we used to go to the fair and camp out at the fair. And I remember always us little ones would rabbit dance. So I remember that. So I had already been part of the Indian fair growing up. So, and it was fun. It was interesting.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of funny the way everything turned out when I went to run for that. I hadn't even, you know, that would never even entered my mind. But it was a good experience.
Yeah. Well, I remember asking my grandfather one time that, you know, because I would hear about how powwows were sinful and you're going to go to hell and all that sort of thing. And I asked my grandfather, who was a Methodist minister, and I said, Grandpa, I said, how come they say it's a sin to go to powwows when God made us Indians, but yet they don't want us to be Indians? And I can't remember his question, but, you know, we still went to dances. So, well, Velma, it's been really good talking with you and hearing about your experiences, and just continue on with passing on what knowledge you have to the younger people. Thank you very much.
Velma, thanks for showing up for today, and I really appreciate you being on the show, and we'll talk to you and Charlie soon.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Aho.
All right. Aho.
Aho. All right, so that was Velma Eisenberger, and she stepped in to be the Kiowa Elder of the Week, and she was Kiowa Princess at one point. I think it was 1957. I'm not sure of the exact year. It might could have been 58. So our next guest is Jared Tartza, and he's here in the studio with us, and he's going to talk a little bit about his lawsuit with the Kiowa Election Commission, and he's got a lot more to say. So, Jared, take it away.
Thank you, Joe, for having me.
Go ahead and pull your microphone a lot closer.
Thank you, Joe, for having me today. Yeah, it looks like we got a court date for April 15th set. So that's going to be next Friday, and I'll have an update for you all after we actually have the court date. But as of now, it's the election. It's myself against the Election Commission and their current ordinance that they've been using. I'll go ahead and read a little bit off of the my petition for the injunction.
Sure, go ahead.
And I'll state a little bit of the facts. Of course, jurisdiction is proper in the CFR court because most recently, Anthony Asatami, the court administrator, sent an email to me telling me that the Kiowa courts are inoperable and not accepting any cases at this time. So that was as official response as I could get. And so I go ahead and exhaust my avenue there with the Kiowa courts, and so submit it to the CFR courts. And one key factor is the where it started out with is the respondent Kiowa Election Commission, respondent Wani, and respondent Piwanovka is what this should say, have willfully violated the Kiowa Constitution and its mandates for conducting its initial elections under the newly enacted Kiowa Constitution by adhering to the 2017 legislature's unconstitutional law titled the First Election Law of 2017. And number six, the First Election Law 2017 is unconstitutional because it supposedly allows the waiving of the mandated requirement of the 50 signature collection on candidate packets as required by the Constitution. Any amendment to the Constitution must go before a vote of the Kiowa Indian Council for approval. Number seven, the Kiowa Election Law of 2017 is unconstitutional because it supposedly allows the Kiowa Election Commission to manipulate the district boundaries. Any alteration of district boundaries must be proposed by petition and signed by at least 30% of eligible voters of the tribe. Any amendment to the Constitution must go before a vote of the Kiowa Indian Council for approval. Number 8, respondent, the Kiowa Election Commission, secondly, has been utilizing an election ordinance which has failed to be properly placed before the legislative process. Number 9, all laws and resolutions of the tribe shall follow an open legislative process for enactment. Number 10, all laws of the tribe shall take effect upon signature by chairman or veto of the legislature. Number 11, the election ordinance has not been approved by the legislature. Number 12, petitioner would state the court had was presented with a similar situation when it ordered relief in the case of Jesse Sweetock versus Susan Campbell and the Kiowa Election Commission. So these are the bases right here. What I'm arguing off of is the actual ordinance itself. The old 1970s election ordinance and its amendments, that granted the authority, gave the authority to the election board at the time to write their own laws. However, the new constitution, when it was enacted, it says any laws that conflict with this constitution are null and void. That old ordinance gives the board the authority to write the law, and the constitution gives the legislature, is the body that writes the law, and the legislative process is what the ordinance is supposed to go through before it's passed and it's enacted and it's followed out. However, it's not ever been done, to my knowledge, and I believe we've got support in a few other documents where the legislature and the legislative attorney also agrees that ordinance is null and void. So right now we're kind of sitting in a predicament where we need judicial review.
My understanding and the general understanding is that the Constitution is the law of the land.
That is
and
correct.
That laws cannot be written that are contrary to the Constitution. And in the Constitution, it states what the boundaries are. In order to alter the boundaries, to me, since the Constitution is the law of the land, that has to be amended through a constitutional amendment. I know that it also says in the Constitution that voters shall cast votes at precincts. Well, the Constitution doesn't say anything about mail-in ballots. It specifically states voters shall cast votes at precincts. So, since the Constitution doesn't say you can do mail-in ballots, one could argue that all of the elections could be thrown out because they didn't follow the Constitution.
Well,
so this is one time that we wish that we'd had a judicial branch to make these interpretations, because right now we don't have any.
That's very true. We cannot create law to circumvent the Constitution. There is the process laid out in the Constitution for making amendments to the Constitution, and everything lies in the Constitution, and we're circumventing the Constitution by creating laws to circumvent it, and we're just getting further down the road, and everything that's being voted on underneath those ordinances are more than likely null and void, including all those officials elected and appointed underneath that.
Nina, I know that you are involved in the Constitution, and if you think of anything you'd like to say, just chime in anytime. Mary Helen, do you have anything that you want to comment about? No?
Not at this time.
All right, Jared, go ahead. What else do you would you
Well,
like
April
say?
15th, we'll be able to go ahead and get before the judge and let the judge go ahead and decide what is what. And I think that's fair for everybody, and we can come back here and discuss matters then. But right now, you know, it's just a matter of the Election Commission is overstepping its bounds, and I don't know why they're not acknowledging that and taking it. And It's disappointing, because we do need our judicial branch up, because we have matters here that need judicial review, and the further we keep holding elections under these ordinances that are invalid, we're just going to have a bigger mess, and that's going to come out of the KIC's pockets. That's our money going to waste.
Well, we already have a big mess going on right now.
Oh, yeah, we do.
And while you're here, and everyone else, and feel free to chime in if you'd like, let's discuss the biggest mess that we've seen in a long time coming on. So yesterday, the Kiowa tribe received a letter from the U.S. Treasury Office of Inspector General. And here, the Neely Tootle put out this press release. The executive branch of the Kiowa tribe was recently contacted by the United States Treasury Office of the Inspector General regarding the payments the tribe made with the Coronavirus Relief Fund. In preliminary documentation request by the Office of the Inspector General, the tribe has until April 23rd to respond and/or provide documentation to support the various expenditures it has made with the CRF or to refute any allegation that has been brought forth. The Department of the Treasury Office of Inspector General is responsible for monitoring and the oversight of receipt, disbursement, and use of coronavirus relief fund payments as authorized in Title VI of the Social Security Act, as amended by Title V of the Division A of the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, CARES Act. The Treasury Office of Inspector General is also assigned authority to recoup funds in the event that it is determined that a recipient of a CRF payment failed to comply with the requirements of subsection 601D of the Social Security Act, as amended, 42 U.S.C. 801, paragraph D. One specific area being targeted by the OIG are the direct payments to the tribe made to its tribal members as a per capita payment. The rest of this is conjecture and opinion by Neely Tootle, and there were 14 points made in the Office of Inspector General's letter to the tribe, one of which was direct payments, but there are 13 other ones that we don't know what they are yet, and attempts to collect the letter.
Oh, yeah.
Have failed.
Let me read.
Jared, go ahead and tell us of the letter you wrote to Neely and her cute response she gave back to you.
Yes, yesterday, April 8th, I asked, Ms. Sudo, per the Kiowa Tribe press release, I'm requesting a copy of the OIG preliminary report, which was provided to the Kiowa Tribe. The press release states a copy of the OIG preliminary communication will be provided upon request, respectfully. And I submitted a copy of the press release. Ms. Sudle responds at about 4:40. Hello, Jared. That document will be made available. However, we are working through our internal protocol before it's available. It will come. Thank you kindly, Neely. So I would suggest that everybody just flood the email in sudle@kiowatribe.org and request that document.
I mean, it is a public document. We here at Kiowa Talk are using our channels to try to obtain the letter from government sources.
Right.
And as soon as that letter is obtained, we'll be posting that on the Kiowa's For a Better Future Facebook page. Nina, do you have any comment, or do you want to wait until your part?
Well, I also responded to, after Jared's Facebook response, I also responded and mentioned that it was a public document that was received. And why would a press release be given to the public prior to internal protocols were looked at? I mean, why would you not look at your internal protocols before you put out a press release? So I don't know if the chairman had authorized the release of that information or not.
Well, no one signed it.
That was the question that I asked.
Well, we like to put the cart before the horse, apparently. That's our MO. And I do want to add that the chairman has put out in his press release that it's the per capita payment, and it's not the per capita payment that's
not
in question.
The per capita payment is not the focus.
It's the 14 other charges that are in question, and those are personal charges, large expenses, just various charges.
One of them is a $10,000 hazardous pay payment from the CARES Act funds to the chairman, Kamalty.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just one of the questions in this letter, and which we'll see as soon as it's produced. All right, Jared.
Buildings.
Buildings. Real estate purchases. There was the co-op center in Lawton purchase for $985,000. Then there was the DHS building purchase for $686,000. And then
they also had weekly excursions to Tulsa.
Oh, there was Tulsa
trips.
There's Netflix expenses. I mean, everything is being paid.
The monthly ship was
paid
out of COVID funds, wasn't
it? Oh, yeah. There was monthly shipments paid out. And they're still on monthly ship to this day, over about $1,000 worth.
Really? Monthly ship?
Monthly ships.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, Jared, do you have anything else you want to say?
Nope. We'll be back after April 15th.
All right. Well, you can go ahead and sit in here, and you might want to chime in and stuff. But now it's time for the legislative update. And Anita Johnson is right here. And unfortunately, she doesn't still have those little cute cat eye glasses that we posted in the picture on Cause for a Better Future. But she's right here. Anita, you go right ahead with your part of the legislative update.
Okay. You just like those cat eye glasses.
I do. I think that those glasses are cute.
Okay. I have some notes, and these notes are regarding the CARES Act distribution and legislative annual budget, dealing with that CARES Act funds last year. And I'm just going to read through my notes. CARES Act funding for the Kiowa Tribe was allocated in the approved Kiowa Tribe Legislative Resolution, KLCY 2020-0006. Annual budget appropriation for fiscal year 2020-2021. And that's the one that we are spending right now. We're in that spending budget right now. In a duly called regular session on June 13, 2020, the budget was formulated by Jesse Sweetock, District 4, Michael Premis, District 2, and Modena Waters, District 7, former legislator, due to the chairman's budget failing and was voted down by the Kiowa Tribe eligible voting members, 18 years of age and older. Jesse Sweetock, District 4, sponsored the resolution. Prior to the chairman's budget failing at the polls, budget committee members Sweetock, Primus, and Waters formulated a budget for approval by the people. This was necessary due to the exclusion of the CARES Act funding in the chairman's budget. The legislature forwarded the resolution KLCY 2020-0006 annual budget appropriation for fiscal year 2020-2021 to Chairman Matthew Camalty on June 15, 2020. Chairman Camalty had 10 days in accordance with the Kiowa Tribe's constitution to approve or veto. He failed to respond within the 10-day time limit, and the resolution became law and was forwarded to the Kiowa Election Commission for vote of the people. Resolution KLCY 2020-0006, annual budget appropriation for fiscal year 2020-2021, section 1.4F, including COVID-19 relief funding, general budget, CARES Act appropriation. This is how it was broken down. Executive branch got $8,624,937. The finance office, in this budget that we're in now, got $118,400, and that included, on the budget, it said $1,000 per tribal member. Legislative got $70,000. This was COVID-19 legislative refund emergency assistance. KIC, $50,000 COVID-19 PPE KIC/equipment. A resolution KLCY 2020-0010-2020 amendment of the Emergency Assistance Fund Regulation and Fairness Act was brought forth and sponsored by District 4 legislator Jesse Sweetock to amend resolution KLCY 2017-015. The resolution was voted on and passed by the legislature on September 12, 2020. Amendment Section 1.5, Authorization of Appropriation of Funds. The legislature hereby authorizes an appropriation of funds from the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security, CARES Act, to be equally distributed in the amount of $1,000 as emergency assistance to all enrolled Kiowa Tribal members. An application process must be implemented for the accountability of funds for reporting auditing purposes. In the event that additional funding is allocated from the United States Congress, the same law will apply depending on the amount of funding available. On November 14, 2020, the legislature voted and approved resolution KLCY 2020-0011, first modification to the annual budget appropriation for fiscal year 2020-2021. The modification was formulated for the second dispersal of CARES Act relief funds received and was not appropriated for the 2020-2021 approved annual budget and remains in the tribal account awaiting appropriation by the Kiowa Legislature pursuant to the approval of the KIC. The disbursement shall be made equally to all elder tribal members on a pro rata basis in the amount of $500 per individual request for assistance. Sections 1.4, approval of the first modification to the annual budget for fiscal year 2020-2021A. Revenue. Under revenue in the annual budget, the following first modification shall be approved. 1. Revenue granted from the CARES Act, $3.8 million. B. 1. Executive Branch, $2.9 million. Said amount to be distributed to eligible elder citizens in the amount of $500 upon application for assistance, and with remaining amount to be distributed for emergency assistance to those eligible applicants through social services up to an amount of $1,000. This first modification was voted and approved by the eligible voters of the Kiowa tribe, and that was at the end of December of 2020, last December.
Now, Anita, am I correct? Isn't it true that the chairman budget got voted down first and then y'all's budget
was able to be true in July of last year?
Yes.
Okay. And the chairman is in and part of this memo here, this press release, alludes to the fact that it's named in there as a per capita payment, which is an error.
He's the only one that called it a per cap, isn't it?
Per capita payment. But as you can hear by these laws that we passed, it is not a per capita payment.
Hall name.
Have an assessment.
You have to turn in an application that identifies your need. And that's exactly what has happened. The elders, the tribal members, turned in applications and identified their needs on that application. And how, you know, what's happened after they turned them in, I have no idea. And neither does the recipient or neither does the applicant, okay? The chairman is in complete control of the finance department and the treasury. He's in control of all of that. So any misspending is his fault. It lays at his doorstep. Even if the tribe's law was not explicit, thankfully, in this situation, there is a separation of powers. So the legislature has done what it was supposed to do. I don't know about the executive branch. I don't know what the executive branch and their team has done to identify where they put that money. We did what we were supposed to do with our resolutions. The finance department, the chairman and the finance department are responsible to follow the federal law that is tied to the grant, because federal law supersedes tribal law. And you're accepting that grant money, you have to go by the federal law. And we did not give out a per capita payment. The tribe did not. And if the chairman wants to go ahead and identify it as a per capita payment, as this press release is alluding to, then that is totally on the executive branch's staff, because that's being put out by the executive branch's communication director. And they work for the chairman. Those are the words that come out from the staff's mouths. We work for the chairman.
There you have it right there. So I know that as soon as we get a copy of this letter, that there's going to be a lot more discussion, and hopefully we will have a copy of that letter by next week, and we can all come here again and discuss that. Jared, do you want to go ahead and release that? Go ahead and read that press release.
Yes.
About the election.
Yes, Ms. Johnson, you're correct. That was a needs analysis that was submitted with those applications, and whatever chairman paid out to whoever after that, that was his per capita that he paid out to whoever over and above is on him. But there was those that needed it and they applied. But we have an April 8th Election Commission letterhead here to the executive branch, the Kiowa Tribe legislative branch of the Kiowa Tribe, in response to the 2021-2022 annual budget. On March 29, 2021, Chairman Kamalty submitted the 2021-2022 annual budget to the Kiowa Election Commission for consideration and vote of the Kiowa Indian Council. In accordance with the Constitution of the Kiowa Tribe, Article 7, Executive Branch, Section 4, Powers A, annual budget, the Kiowa Election Commission will proceed with the annual election so that the KIC can vote to approve, disapprove the proposed budget. The 2021-2022 annual budget election will be held on Saturday, May 15, 2021. Sincere regards, Amanda Hill, Kiowa Election Commission Chairman. And this right here is a direct violation. This is circumventing the legislative process that's involved in this, because the legislature hasn't even edited or we haven't had public comment or anything. KIC is left out of this also. So this is just dictatorship right here. And the Election Commission, if they follow through with this, then they've totally just disregarded any KIC.
He's disregarded a lot of things.
Disregarded everything.
Here, Nina, there's your microphone.
This is legislative response to that. Saturday, April 10th, which is the day of this broadcast, is the rarely scheduled monthly meeting of the legislature, which we are doing by Zoom. And any Kiowa is able to get in on that Zoom meeting by looking for it on Facebook. You can...
We'll post the information on how they can get on the Facebook page.
What is it called? Kiowas for Change?
We'll do them on all three. Kiowas for Change, Kiowas for a Better Future, and Kiowa Solutions. All the information will be posted on there so that you guys can look at the meeting if
you'd
like.
You can link up. Anyway, tomorrow we have several... Saturday, we have several issues that are going to come before the legislature, one of them being the legislative budget, because we have worked very hard on that budget. And each one of us had a section of the budget to work on, which we did, and brought them all together, gathered up all the data together, and began to sift through, and we found a lot of exorbitant spending and raises, and which we adjusted. And so we've come up with, and we'll be identifying that tomorrow, explaining what we've come up with for the Kiowa Tribe in the legislative budget. We will be submitting that budget to the once we pass it tomorrow, and I'm pretty sure we will have a majority to pass it. But two of the legislators have indicated if the chairman vetoes that budget in 10 days, we have to give it to him after we pass it for 10 days. If he vetoes it, they will not vote with us to override that veto. And those two are District 4 Legislator Jesse Swedock and Mr. Attalty out of District 1 did not verbally say that, but he indicated it with his head saying a yes, agreeing with Mr. Swedock because he was in the office with him on this Zoom meeting. But they were in agreement that they were not going to vote to overturn the veto. And so we have to have six legislators agreeing to overturn the veto out of seven. So that would kill our legislative budget. And we would just have to go with, if the Kiowa tribe doesn't vote on the approve the chairman's budget, we would then fall back on the current budget that we're on right now. So we would continue with the same budget we're working with right now.
Gotcha. All right, Jacob, are you there on the phone with us? It's your time now. Jacob?
So yes, sorry. I am. I'm sorry I haven't been able to listen in on most of the program. But I would like to mention a couple of items related to the Inspector General's findings or wanting to hear more information from the tribe. One of the items that was mentioned or was brought forward on the hotline from two informed persons who first brought the issues up was that the chairman had paid for his attorney for during the impeachment process with CARES Act funding. And we know that that will not be an allowable cost. And that wasn't mentioned in the press release. The other item that I believe will be more answers that need to be given was that all of the employees at the tribal complex were given hazardous duty pay during the time periods when the complex was closed. And it amounted to over $180,000 that those employees were given for hazardous duty pay. And for most of them, if not all of them, that was an allowable cost. The hazardous duty pay were to go to first line responders, police officers, EMTs, and those who are really exposed to the COVID virus. So that should not be allowable as well. So there are two major areas that were not mentioned in that press release, and it will be interesting to see the totality of that list, once we are allowed to see that, what's involved with the review by the Inspector General. So I look forward to that. And the chairman's budget is, the election date has been set, I believe, for May 15th. And as the legislature, the majority of the legislature, feel that that budget is beyond exorbitant in the amount of pay increases that were that are proposed. And so we urge my District 7 constituents to vote no on that proposal and to wait until the legislature's budget is presented. And we at some point may present a budget modification to include the anticipated funding, which some expect to be around $50 million. And we will be more specific on our appropriations of that money that will be forthcoming for sure in order for us to prevent some of the things and abuses that have occurred with the previous CARES Act funding.
Go ahead, Jacob. Keep on. What else do you have? What else do you think? I was also told the Kiowa Casino frontline facing employees didn't even receive hazard pay. And that's our main source of revenue. So, you know, that's disappointing.
That's right. They were the ones that should have had it. Yes.
So one thing is that we wanted to reassure the tribal members that they're not responsible for the payback because a needs analysis was processed. And This payment was not a per cap payment. The only people that have ever suggested this was a per cap payment is the chairman. So, like,
right. And to add to that, the inspector general, if he has any concern with that, we'll have to review 30 other tribes in Oklahoma who distributed funding as direct payments to their tribal citizens. So we were not the only tribe to follow that process. And I believe that that is just a smokescreen to hide the other more major abuses of that funding.
We think the same thing. So, Jacob, have you gotten a response back from Ms. Tsutel about your inquiry as to obtaining a copy of the OIG letters? Oh, she just didn't answer you at all.
Not at all. And I did see Mr. Tarza's post that they were trying to develop some sort of protocol. But again, I think they're just holding on to that document in order to prevent people from formulating a righteous outrage as to what they had done in abusing that funding.
I agree. What other topics would we like to cover today, Jacob?
Well, look forward to tomorrow, Saturday's meeting, Saturday morning. And I want to express my deepest sympathy for the tragedy that occurred in Prairie Village this week. It's so unfortunate that one of our young Kiowa citizens was caught into what should not have occurred because of an overreaction by the law enforcement, although, you know, there's some responsibility of the young man in that he did, he is alleged to have shot first, but that's just an unfortunate result of drug abuse. And urge our young people to really think hard about being involved in that type of a situation through the use of, especially fentanyl. We know that is a very toxic and dangerous drug and can lead to very serious conditions for those who abuse that. But it's just a heartbreaking situation for the family members. St. Bahul's lost their loved one this weekend, and our deepest sympathy to that family.
All right, Jacob. Well, thank you for coming on today's show, and we'll talk to you later this week. All right? Aho.
Thanks, Joe. Thank you. Aho.
Joe, I had something to add in.
Go ahead.
I had something to add in about the BIA. It seems that there are stall tactics in place on getting my case heard, because we filed that February 4th in the CFR courts, and Judge Lujan actually, we actually did not get a hearing date until the week after the District 1 election, which we were trying to go ahead and hold off until the election ordinance was addressed. But Judge Lujan, a week after the District 1 election, well, Judge Lujan, we have a hearing, and Judge Lujan recuses himself on matter of special opinion, personal opinion, and we just got word that Shannon Edwards will oversee it on April 15th. Mm-hmm. So that is good news, but I do believe that there were stall tactics in place there at the Bureau, possibly, or something. We got Terry Bruner's an email saying that they were only seeing ICW child welfare cases at the moment. So I'm so glad that we got in front of the judge on April 15th. So,
all right. We're running out of time here on Kiowa Talk, but I'd like to thank Anita Johnson and Jared Tarza and my co-host, Mary Helen Deer, for all coming on the show today and taking time out of their day, and Velma Eisenberger for being Kiowa Elder of the Week this week, and Jacob Sotai. Quick announcement, the Oklahoma City Powwow Club is having their next Indian taco sale next Saturday, April 17th at 3131 North Penn. Native Arts and Crafts will be on site as well. Announcement two, Gigi Palmer will be our Kiowa Elder of the Week next week. We'd like to thank all of the Koigu for tuning into our program on KACO New Country 98.5. Please pray for the Kiowa people, and as J.T. Goombay would say, Goombay for now.
The previous was a paid program, and the opinions expressed within it are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of KACO Radio or Mullman Media management and staff.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life. Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you, start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
Now I'm, trying to get better, stronger than ever.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.